You know, from time to time, there are news reports about people being trapped in tunnels where it collapses or another explosions. In listening to the updates about the conditions of the people who are trapped, if there is information coming out at all, one of the things that I kind of put myself into the situation about what it would be like to be in pitch darkness without light of any kind. And sometimes that's the circumstance when all the fuel supply gets down to its limits. And remarkably, through remarkable effort, people have been rescued from those things. But when they are rescued, it's interesting to see them coming out of the mines or the tunnels into daylight. And they have to cover their eyes because the light is just too overwhelming, too shocking. It's blinding and would be harmful, actually, to the people who have been without light for such a long time. It's quite a contrast from what they've come out of. I'd like to apply, excuse my voice here, but I'd like to apply kind of this little mini background to us about how are we living ourselves. We heard it in the opening prayer, being called out of this world of darkness. We have been rescued from darkness. We are in the light. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time building this sermonette around Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. And I'll go through this and read the verses and then enlarge on some of them and do a little commentary, if you please. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 starts off this way. For you, and this is talking to us, brethren, we're once in darkness. We're reminded of that, I'm sure, every day of our lives and throughout those days, by what a contrast this world is represented considering the way of God. Continuing, it says, but now you are light. You are light. We are light in the Lord. And this command is to walk as children of light. And I know we can read through the Bible, and this analogy is drawn time and time again. I'll mention some of those here. But think deeply, if you will, about what this means. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. Writing this scripture down, and I'm just going to enlarge on what's in verse 8 here of Ephesians 5, but in 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. We're in a category that is unparalleled, probably in the history of the universe, to be considering that God is bringing about an increase in his family at this time. But continuing, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, hence the title to my sermonette, His Marvelous Light. Philippians 2, verse 15, continuing to enlarge upon what I read in verse 8 of Ephesians 5. Ephesians 2, Philippians 2 and verse 15, breaking in, that you may become blameless and harmless. This is the quality of life that we are to be. Children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I'm going to ask you a question in just a minute. You'll have to wait for it, about our shining and the world's recognition of it. But let's also look at a scripture that quotes Jesus Christ directly, Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. And still, I'm enlarging on that verse 8 that I started with in Ephesians 5. Matthew 5 and verse 14, he speaks to those who are following him. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on this hill cannot be hidden. No, we're not hidden away in some kind of a cult in a distant land or a secret hideout. Quite the opposite. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. God didn't call us to just secretly prepare us for the kingdom of God. Rather, he puts us out in the world as a light, as an example by how we live. If we do that, God will back us up. He will make our light sure and certain. Christ continuing to teach here, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Pointing to the ultimate message of the gospel of salvation and what God is offering to all of mankind, but we as forerunners are lighting this world with this knowledge. Verse 9 now of Ephesians 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is the quality of the life that we are to live and the lights that we are to be. You know, I'll just briefly refer to Galatians 5. It describes the fruits of the flesh and the spirit, but let me approach it a little bit differently. What's mentioned here are the fruits of darkness on the one hand and the fruits of light on the other, the true light from God. Verse 10 of Ephesians 5, we are those who have been called out of darkness to walk in the light, finding out what verse 10 says here, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Well, that's a big challenge. We spend our days and years and in our Christian growth doing this. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can't grow, brethren, unless we are connected to him in obedience. Now, here's my question that I hinted at earlier. Does the light of God shine so brightly in us as Christians that it's recognizable? Or would people actually be shocked to know that we are Christians? You're a Christian? I think you see my point. It's not that we, in a braggadocio way, try to show people, I'm more righteous than you, my light is brighter than your light. No, it's just a quiet example of following the commandments of God in our lives. Of course, things like the Sabbath mark us differently. But the real test is, what do we do in our daily living? How do we treat people on the freeway or in the grocery store or, you know, wherever we walk? People may see a good example and be appreciative of it and not really know the source of that strength. But nonetheless, that's the kind of life light we should be. Okay, verse 11 now of Ephesians 5. I'm grouping three verses here, 11, 12, and 13, and I'll read them to you. As beacons of light, sources of light, and the sense is that this light emanates out of us by our character. We are instructed here, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, shine the light on them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Whatever shows the truth is light, which comes from God. John 1, verses 4 and 5, just to expand a little bit on what I just read in the previous three verses. John 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's going to happen to us just as it did to Jesus Christ. We're going to set a good example, regardless of whether we get applause for it or not, or even recognition as far as being Christians and really living a proper lifestyle. You know, the Father was greatly pleased in what Jesus Christ did as a light in the world of darkness. That is also our test. Is God pleased with our light as it shines before men? Sometimes we need to ask, you know, the big questions of ourselves. Are we really pleasing God in the same manner that Jesus Christ did? And pleasing God is the objective. If we seek that fervently and zealously, we will be those kinds of lights in the pattern of Jesus Christ. And then finally, out of the quote from Ephesians, verse 14, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. And that's the comparison of being in the darkness of this world, is that we are dead. And Christ will give you light. This statement from John 8, verse 12, is really pivotal, I think. John 8 and verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know, having lived in the marvelous light of God, but then rejecting it, it actually seals some to a fate that's very frightening. And I'm speaking now of those in the spirit realm who rebelled against God. And this statement from Jude 13 is frightening, but it puts perspective to how important and how serious our calling is for ourselves. Jude 13, breaking in, they are called wandering, these rebellious spirit beings. They are called wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness. And that will be forever. That's also a quote you can take out of one of Peter's letters, who makes the same point, that there is a fate. Would that be like going down into a tunnel and never escaping, but always living? Those humans who ultimately and finally reject the light of God will die, never to see the light of life again. It's a little bit different for them, evidently. Now, perhaps some of you have seen pictures of the Earth from space at nighttime. It's interesting because you can see whole continents ablaze with lights, you know, all over the place, and it's actually quite beautiful. But what a contrast. You can go over certain parts of the Earth, especially Africa, where power is not available, human-devised lighting. And it's dark, interspersed with lights, but not anything like most of the more advanced societies who have all the accoutrements of industry at their fingertips. When God looks upon the earth, searching out the light of his people, by analogy now, what does he see as we shine in the world? Does he see brightness? For instance, right here, if it's dark in Fort Collins or Ramona or some other part on the, like in the East Coast, does our little light kind of twinkle or burst forth and shining? Or is there no light at all where there should be light? You know, we used to have whole banks of lights, by analogy, back in the days of Worldwide. You could look at Pasadena and all the people that were God's people at that time. And I'm using kind of just a rough analogy here, but something happened. There was a time, and I've reflected back with people who were able to experience the Worldwide Church of God in the 60s and 70s, and particularly being at headquarters at Pasadena. And everybody said it was just something special. Of course, it was the Spirit of God, but the way I would look back on it was that the light of God was there flowing through the people of that time. I'd love to see that again, but you know, if you just look all over the earth for those who are shining in this world at this time, there are not as many now as there were then, the period I'm talking about. So the light that we are producing is really crucial. We can't let our individual lights go out, and our bank of lights, our part in the church, because as a church we're emanating the light of God, and we must continue to do that by drawing even closer to the power source. If we care to follow that narrow and difficult path which leads to salvation, we must continue to walk forward. How? Well, in the marvelous light of God. Today, tomorrow, and on into the future, and on into the kingdom of God, where we, like God does now, will dwell in the light of righteousness and truth, love, and eternal life.